name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program, because we're going to be talking about the glory and the supernatural power of God and how it's available to everyone who believes. And I want to share a little bit of my testimony with you to let you know how I came into a knowledge and understanding of the glory and then encounters in the glory, because God wants you to have your own personal encounters. And you can. I remember back in January of 1994, I was in Florida, actually, with a friend, and we were on our way to Venezuela. We were going to be doing some meetings over there, and all of a sudden the trip to Venezuela got delayed a couple of days, so we had this time in Florida to hang out, and there happened to be a revival meeting that night. So my husband and I went with some friends, and the power of God was moving in such an enormous way, in a way that I'd never seen it. And the revivalist had said over our section where we were standing, he said, the wind of the Spirit of God is going to blow here momentarily. And in just like another second, there was the power of God. The wind of the Spirit blew over our entire section. A physical wind blew, just like on the day of Pentecost, I think. And it blew so hard that a lot of us crashed to the ground. The seats were flying. I found myself on the floor and I thought, wow, does this feel good? That was a blast of the power of God. So I'm lying there feeling so good in one of the glory manifestations of the presence of God, even though I might not have called it that at the time. But then all of a sudden I heard the revivalist say, you know, if you felt God touch you at that time, come up to the front. Well, I didn't know how I was going to get up to the front, but I was going to find my way because I wanted another touch. If this was one touch from God and we were being offered another touch, I was going to get everything I could. The problem was I was a little bit drunk in the Holy Spirit. I was staggering. I was trying to pull myself up because the weight of the presence of God, which is the glory, the weight, the kabod of God, was so heavy on me. I could hardly stand. I could hardly get up. I made myself get up and stagger up to the front. And so a number of us, we were lined up across the front. The revivalist puts his hands up like this and he said, come Holy Spirit. And again, the wind of the Spirit came and knocked us down flat. No one laid hands on us. It was the raw presence of God. And I felt this wonderful comfort, this peace, this power of his love bring me to the ground. And then I started laughing uncontrollably, but I didn't know why. And I remember in my own natural mind, because, you know, in the natural mind, the natural part of you is against the Spirit. It says that in the Bible. The natural mind cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. So my natural mind was warring against what was happening. Here I was having this flood of joy. I was laughing uncontrollably, but my natural mind was saying, why are you laughing? There's nothing funny. No one's told a joke. You're acting like an idiot. Everyone's watching you and listening to you. You're making a fool of yourself. And all these thoughts were coming into my mind. The fear of man actually was coming into my mind. But the more those thoughts came, the more I laughed. It was absolutely uncontrollable. I had no idea why I was laughing, but it felt good. Now, just let me interject this, is that the scripture does say that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And we're going to talk about all different kinds of manifestations of the glory, because there's the joy manifestation, there's the healing manifestations, the deliverance power is a manifestation of the glory. Anything good in God, which we'll unpack later, is part of the glory. But this was the joy of the presence of the Lord that was totally taking over my body. I was laughing uncontrollably, and it was happening, but I was struggling. So in my mind, I was saying, you have nothing, nothing at all to laugh over. And then I asked this sincere question as I was in the midst of a laugh. I said to myself silently, I said, Lord, why am I laughing? What's so funny? And at that moment, I was taken into what I refer to as a trance vision encounter. It was like a real encounter. All of a sudden, I was no longer in the room, but I was in heaven. I was in the place of God's abode, the place where God lives, the place where his perfect peace is. And in that place, I heard in my audible hearing, I heard heaven laugh. It was like a mass of people or a mass of beings laughing with fullness of laughter. It was almost like a party atmosphere, like someone had told a joke or something and everyone was laughing. And I remember thinking in my mind, again, you have to understand that we have the spirit man part of us and then we have the natural man part of us. Now, I don't know how this all works. I don't know all the mechanics or the technical aspects that go on behind this, but this natural man can actually even function when you're in the midst of a spiritual encounter. That's why we have to discern it. Because as I'm listening to this sovereign move of God with all of heaven laughing, I'm in my mind, my natural mind, there's an enmity against the spirit, is struggling. And I remember thinking, so, is this all you guys do up here, is have a party? Do you not understand that we are struggling down in planet Earth? And that was the thought that came into my mind. But it was dissolved because in the next moment, I was laughing along with heaven. And I noticed something. Heaven was laughing like in crescendos of laughter. And when heaven would laugh, I would laugh. But when it would kind of like wane a bit, I would wane. When it would laugh again, when all the voices would laugh, I would laugh along with them. And what I noticed is that I was in a divine connection with heaven. I was actually one with what was going on with heaven. When heaven was in the fullness of joy, I was in the fullness of joy. When it waned a bit, I waned. When it came back, I came back. So I was in heaven's rhythm. I was one in that place. Amazing. Now, oftentimes in a spiritual encounter, you'll have encounters within encounters. So now I'm in heaven hearing. I didn't see anything at that initial moment, but I'm hearing all these sounds, heavenly sounds, laughter sounds, glorious sounds, just the fullness of joy. But then I went into vision within heaven. It's like wheels within wheels. There's visions within encounters. There can be trance visions, audible sounds, open vision, visions within the minds. And all of those can work together as the Spirit leads you because He's trying to connect you into who you are in God and what's going on in your life that you cannot see. And so as I'm in the midst of this heavenly encounter, hearing all this laughter, going into laughter myself, in and out of laughter, then I start seeing vision. And in the vision, I saw an altar in heaven. It was a vivid vision. It was like a real tangible vision where I could see this altar and it had fire on it and fiery coals. And then I saw in this vision angels flying up from the earth and they were holding coals within their hand. And the Lord spoke to me in my heart when I was in this heavenly experience. And He said, those coals that the angels are carrying are the prayers of the saints from the earth. And they were carrying them up and laying them on the altar, this fiery altar. And as they did, this burning fire in heaven was igniting them, and they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger until they were like a ball of intense fire. Then the angels would take those intense balls of fire, they were balls of power, and they would then take them and fly back into the earth, and they would throw these fireballs or these power balls in these dark patches that I saw in another vision of the earth with black patches all over, and they would throw these balls into those black patches, and all of a sudden, poof, there was this explosion of demonic activity. The demons were running all over the place, scared, spitless, screaming in terror, and disbanding. And all of a sudden, when that happened, heaven laughed again. And I would laugh. And I remember in Psalm 2, and it says, the Lord sits in the heavens and He laughs. And it talks about having His enemy in laughing stocks. You know, He has them in derision. And so there was all of heaven laughing. I was laughing. And every time one of these fireballs would go and break through into this breakthrough against the devil's strongholds in the earth, this laughter would come, the fullness of joy. In Psalm 126, it says that there's this harvest that comes in, and this joy that comes with the harvest when the enemy is conquered and when the breakthroughs come. And that's what it was like. And then I remember on one particular fireball that I saw one of the angels throw. It was against this cave, and it had this big rock in front of it, and this fireball went and poof, and it broke open the cave. And then I went into the vision was with all these emaciated people coming out. They'd been in darkness, and they had chains that were hung on their hands and their feet, and they walked out of the darkness, and they were rubbing their eyes because the eye was so bright. And all of a sudden, as they were looking at the bright light, they were like, joy started coming back into them. And I remember in the vision weeping at that time, weeping with a weeping of joy, and heaven started weeping. But it was a weeping of joy because the harvest was coming in, the breakthrough was coming. And I remember feeling one with heaven. I was having visions within visions, audible sounds, connections with heaven's emotion, connections with the workings of heaven. That was my first encounter of being in heaven, experiencing some of the things that were going on in the throne room. I'm going to unpack this for you a little bit more and show you how you can encounter heavenly things, how you can encounter the glory right after this break. Do you want to learn how to live in the glory? Yeah, I mean really live in the glory. Learn how to walk and live in the manifest presence of God and ascend up into the heavens and enjoy His presence and boldly come before the throne of grace and learn how to discern the presence of angels. All of these things are taught in the Glory School. Plan on attending. Welcome back. Well, the story that I shared in the first part of our program was a real living experience for me, something that I'd never had before. And you know what? I wanted more. After I experienced that, the heavenly places that one time, I wanted more. I thought, oh Lord, if only I could have more experiences like that. So over the next number of years, I longed for more encounter, but I didn't have any more sovereign encounter. You see, a sovereign encounter is when it's God's choosing. You don't do anything to initiate it. He just lands on you like that. He just interrupts your life like that. And He can, because He's God, and He could do that whenever He wants. But He hasn't promised in His word to move sovereignly like that. And so, even though He can, it's not something that we can necessarily expect Him to do all the time. It's at His choosing. But there's another aspect of our faith, and that is that which we access by faith because we're children of God. And I hadn't come to understand that concerning the supernatural or my walk with God in the heavenly places. It wasn't until years later that I understood that all believers could access the heavenlies through faith because we are in Christ. So I'll try to unpack that a little bit for you. But let me just say this, is over the next number of years, I did desire more encounter. I prayed about it, and I had one more, what I would call a supernatural, sovereign move of the Spirit of God. It was a spiritual experience that was an amazing encounter. It involved transport in the Spirit, and I had that a number of years later. So I had these two supernatural, sovereign, divine encounters into the unseen realm of the kingdom of God, and I wanted more. So in the year 2000, we were doing a conference up in Kelowna, and I was picking up Bob Jones, who's a seer prophet, from the airport, and I knew that he had lots of encounters in the heavenlies, and he had had lots of experiences with the Lord and a really developed seer anointing. So as I was driving him to his hotel, I said, you know, Bob, I had these two encounters, but I'd love to have more because I felt so one with God in the midst of these encounters. And he said, well, because you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ, you can have these encounters all the time by faith. And I thought, what? I can encounter God like this by faith? I had no idea that I could go to God. I thought God always had to come to me. But he said, no, you can go to God because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. So over the next few days, I had some what I would call faith encounters with the Lord. And Bob Jones prayed for me. And you know, it was okay, but it was just different, a little bit different from the sovereign encounters. So I wasn't really quite sure about it all. But, you know, I accepted what he said, but I was still longing for the same kind of experience that I'd had in these sovereign encounters. It was about a year or so later that I was going into a prayer time. It was in December of 2002, and I was going into a prayer time with the Lord that I take every year, every December. I try to take a month and spend that time with God and minister to him and wait on him for a new word of the Lord. And the very first morning that I was with Holy Spirit, he made himself really real to me. I felt his presence come in a really tangible way, his peace, his love, his wisdom. And he introduced himself to me in a way that I'd never known him before. And then he took me on a 30-day encounter, a truth encounter, a glory encounter, and taught me through the Word of God and through experience in that month how to access the fullness of the glory by faith. It was like taking a dictation. Every day he would impart to me revelation and understanding. And as he gave me revelation and insight into his Word, I'd go to the Word and look up all the different scriptures and did a study through my concordance and just delved into it more. And the Holy Spirit unpacked to me how every believer, everyone who is in Jesus Christ, through the blood of the covenant that was cut on the cross 2,000 years ago, that we have access into this glory realm and into all the fullness of God. I was blown away. I studied the scriptures and I got insight after insight after insight. I thought, oh my gosh. And it was during that time that I was taking notes, actually, every day, reams and reams of notes, and everything that the Holy Spirit gave me, every scripture that was unpacked, I'd write it down. And in that 30 days, I was like, and it felt like a dictation, but the Lord gave me a school called the Glory School. I was so excited about it. He said, I want you to school or teach, instruct my people how to access the glory, how they can by faith come to me. They don't have to wait for me to come to them in some kind of sovereign encounter. They can come to me. They have full access into my glory. And so I had all the notes in my computer and I formatted it, and it became what we know now as the Glory School. I could hardly wait to teach it. In fact, as soon as I finished that month, I thought, I can't wait. I've got to teach it to someone. And so in the next couple of weeks, I threw together a few days where I could get together with some hungry people. There was about 30 people in that first school. And day after day after day, I taught on the glory. And as I taught, everything that the Lord showed me, he would manifest. It was like he's there to confirm. You see, whatever you focus on, you empower. If you focus on the glory, you'll have the glory manifest within your life. So hour by hour by hour, we were focusing on the glory. I was teaching the word. Do you know that Jesus said in Mark 16, he said, if you go out and preach what I've taught you, go and preach the good news of the kingdom, then I will confirm with signs that follow. So in that first glory school, because we're teaching on the glory, guess what manifests? The glory. We had all kinds of manifestation of the glory, the weighty peace of his presence. We had healing. We had the fire of God. We had angelic glory. We had just the fragrances came. We had manifestation of gold glitter. We had all these different manifestations of the glory. Why? It was because we were focusing on the glory, because we were proclaiming the glory. Do you know what the glory actually means? It refers to the fullness of all God is and all that he has. In the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word for the glory. One of the Hebrew words for glory is kabod. It talks about the weight of God when his presence comes in and touches you, and it comes down and the fullness of his goodness envelops you. And it can manifest in all kinds of different ways. There's the salvation glory of God when he saves a soul. There's a healing glory of God when the weight of his healing touches a body and releases them. There's the miracle glory of God, the deliverance glory of God, you know, the signs and wonders glory of God, the supernatural acts glory of God. It's the fullness of all God is and all that he has. I want to read a scripture out of Exodus 33 because it's going to give you a key, a real clue as to how to live in the glory. In Exodus chapter 33, it says in verse 9 that whenever Moses entered a tent that he had pitched outside the camp, in other words, a place away from the busyness of everyday life, where you can just spend time alone with God, Moses made this a priority. He went into that tent every single day. I remember when God first gave me the teaching on the glory, I'd go into that place of intimacy every single day because I was wanting to seek his glory. If you seek, you will find. So Moses entered the tent, and when he did, it says in verse 9, the pillar of cloud. That's the cloud of his glory. The pillar of his cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And it says in verse 11 that in that glory presence, the Lord would speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. Moses later on cried out, he says, oh Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I mean, every day he had manifestations of the glory of the Lord every single day. But he still wanted more. He says, more, God, show me the fullness. And the Lord said, I can't show you the fullness of who I am all at one time. You'll blow up. But he says, I'm going to allow my goodness to pass before you. The very best of my goodness. Goodness in the superlative tense. He saw the fullness of Jesus, Moses did. The goodness of God. In 2 Chronicles 5, 13, it says, when the priest proclaimed the goodness of God, the manifestation of the glory came so thick that they couldn't stand to minister to him. What is the glory? It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God, the fullness of the goodness of God that he doesn't withhold from anyone who seeks after him. Seek after the glory, the supernatural, the heavenlies. I'm going to go into part two of this next time. You'll want to watch it. But in the meantime, go online and have a look at the Glory School. We have it in DVD, CD, MP3. We've got my book, The Spiritual Revolution, as well. And we've got the manual on the glory. You can study the glory, intense lessons, 16 lessons on the glory of God. Why don't you go online right now and find out more about it?
My name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you're joining us for today's program. It's our second program on the glory, and I want you to experience the fullness of all that God has for you, because the glory, which is the copiousness of God, the bigness, the fullness of all that he is and all that he has, is for every single believer to encounter and experience. You know, oftentimes we hear Christians say, oh, if only I could have an encounter, if only I could be close to God, if only, you know, I could have this or that. And the thing is, we already have it all. And I know that that's hard for some of you to hear, saying, yeah, I know, but, you know, that's what I usually hear. Yes, I know, but. And you know what? I used to say that myself, until the Holy Spirit gave me understanding of how to access the fullness of the blessings of God. And so I want you to get excited about what's being offered to you. We have a course called the Glory School that we unpack all this stuff, over 16 lessons of session by session by session. And then we like doing Glory to Glory schools as well, where you can just put everything into activation by the hour. Because we found the more that you focus on the Word of God on any subject, the more that Word will manifest. The more you focus on a certain dimension of the character or nature or operations of the Spirit of God, the more that will reflect in your life, the more it will manifest in your life. Whatever you focus on, that's what you empower. In fact, it was just a blessing actually getting ready for this program, because there was a season when I was in
the glory, focused on the glory for hours and hours and hours every day, because we were developing the courses. God was giving us the revelation. He was unpacking the scripture. Every day I got more insight, more insight, more insight on the glory. I would rejoice over what I was seeing, and then I'd pray into it, and then I'd share it with everybody, and then I'd go out and teach on it. And because there was so much focus on it, we were getting manifestations of the glory every day. We were getting angels showing up. We were getting, you know, gold glitter, or sometimes gemstones, and winds of the Spirit, fragrances of God, the weighty presence of God. His peace sometimes would come in such a big way. It was like we were like, whoa, you know, could hardly move. Other times we'd feel like electrical jolts going through us. But there was tangible manifestation of the supernatural. And the reason why is because we were focused on the supernatural. We were in His Word. We were devouring the Word on that particular subject. And so because of that, it was manifesting. One of the things that I would like to encourage you in is that if you will focus on God, His glory, His supernatural operations of the Spirit, and covet those things, like desire those things of the Spirit within your heart, seek those things, then they will manifest within your life. And I'm going to give you a scripture that will confirm this to you. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to Colossians, because sometimes I hear people say, you don't have to focus on something. If God wants you to have it, He will just let you have it. He'll just do it Himself, you know, if He wants you to have it. You don't have to seek after it. But that is not biblical. God has already given you everything concerning Himself. It says His ways are past finding out, but you get to seek them. It says the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us. So as you're seeking Him, it says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Ask, it will be given unto you. And so we have a responsibility as we're growing in God to let Him know what our hunger is, to seek after Him in that, saying, Lord, I'm so hungry. I'm seeking You for this. I want this. And if you go after it, you will get it, because that's the nature of how the kingdom works. But oftentimes I find Christians saying, well, you know, if God wants me to have it, He'll do it. And you know, there is that sovereign aspect of God where He can do anything at any time. That's God's prerogative. But He hasn't promised to move on you supernaturally. He's already done everything He's going to do through His Son. Everything has been completed. Everything that He promised man, all of His works that He promised man, are completed in the Son. And now it's up to us to walk in the fullness of everything that Christ has given us. Now let me excite you today with a scripture. Colossians chapter 3, it says, this is Paul, who had many encounters in the Spirit. He's writing to the church of the Colossians, and he says this, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and you need to understand, he's writing to a church of people who are still on the earth, living, breathing believers. These are not people who have died and gone to heaven. These are people who are in the church. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, in other words, right now, if you're a believer, you are raised up with Christ right now. You don't have to wait till you die to be raised up with Christ. You're raised up with Christ right now. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above. You are allowed to seek the things above. You're exhorted to. It says continue, ongoing tense here. Keep seeking things that are above. Well, what's above? You know, throne room glory is above. Encounters in the throne room are above. Angelic visitation and worship is above. Peace, perfect peace is above. Christ's righteousness is above. Sea of glass is above. The rainbow over the throne is above. You understand what I'm saying? It says keep seeking the things above. He didn't even say keep seeking the face of God, which we know is above, but also the things. Amazing. You are actually allowed to seek things that are in Christ. So it says, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This is throne room glory you're allowed to seek. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Because if you, whatever you set your mind on, whatever you focus on, That's what you empower. If you focus on throne room glory, you're going to empower throne room glory. It says so right here. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. In other words, we have a natural life, which is our carnal life, our natural nature, but we in Christ have a spiritual nature that is already connected with the fullness of God right now. And we get to live that life by faith. I'll unpack that a little bit more for you in just a moment. So it says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when you get deepened revelation of that life in Christ, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Once you see who Jesus is, you'll see who you are in the glory. Set your mind on the things above where Christ is seated, because you're a heavenly creature. If you spend time going like Moses did into the tent of meeting every single day, it says in Exodus 30, when he walked into that tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud came down, and God would speak to Moses face to face like a man speaks to a friend. Nothing has changed. What did Moses do? He set aside a place. He set aside a time to focus on the God of glory. And when he did, in the midst of all the problems and all the stuff that was going on in the midst of Israel going through the desert, all the rebellion and all the discord, everything that went with it, he would remove himself from all of that. In fact, I'm preaching to myself right now, but he would remove himself from all of that and go into the presence of God. And that's when the glory came. That's where he received his strength to go through the days. That's where he received the insight, the wisdom, the power. And what happened as a result of that? Israel had glory. I think that the reason why the heavens opened and manna came down from heaven was because of Moses' dedication to the glory. It touched the whole nation. Do you know that your dedication to the glory can impact the nation that you live in? It did in Moses' day. Most of the people that went through the wilderness were in rebellion. They weren't seekers of God. They didn't go into the tent of meeting in their own private place. They watched Moses go into his. They were watching Moses to see what Moses would come out with. But the thing is, they could have gone into their own tent of meeting, and the glory could have come in a cloud at the entrance of their tent as well. But instead of that, they were just watching what was going to happen with Moses. God wants you to go into your tent of meeting and focus on the glory. Read the word on the glory. Why don't you even get the glory school and listen to it by the hour, because it's a teaching that was given by the Holy Spirit. It'll teach you through the word of God how to focus on the glory, how to walk in obedience to what God shows you in his word. I want to highly recommend a focus for you right now. Like I said, I'm really glad that I'm actually teaching this right now, because I've been in a season of just plain busy. Everything's been busy. As a ministry, we've been launching out in so many intensive new projects that God gives us. That's something that you get in the glory realm. When you spend time with God, you get downloads, scrolls get given to you, angelic visitation comes, and you're given assignments to work through in God, which is awesome. But if you focus on the administration alone, the natural administration, and work out all the problems that come with all those assignments, you'll start focusing on administration. So what do you get? You'll get administration. You have to kind of leave that aside, go back to focus on the glory, like what Moses did every single day. He focused on the glory, and then God gave him divine administration. I love it. We're more fruitful as a ministry now than we've ever been. But you know what I want? I want not just fruitfulness. I want the supernatural manifestations of the glory. As a ministry, we'll get those as we focus more on the glory, as we go into his presence more, focus on angelic visitations, visitations of Christ's presence, his power, his miracles, his signs, his wonders. When you focus on it, you get it. It's the nature of focus. Do you want to learn how to live in the glory? Yeah, I mean really live in the glory. Learn how to walk and live in the manifest presence of God and ascend up into the heavens and enjoy His presence and boldly come before the throne of grace and learn how to discern the presence of angels. All of these things are taught in the Glory School. Plan on attending. Welcome back. I want to help you understand who you really are in Christ. Because if you do, you'll understand that you are a child of the glory and that you have 24/7 access to the glory of God for your entire life, in fact, for all eternity. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. But if you have your Bible handy, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 3. I want to show you something. It says in John 3 and verse 5, it says that Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In other words, we need to be born again. He's telling Nicodemus, who is a religious man who read the scriptures often, and he understood a lot of scripture teaching, but he hadn't encountered or experienced the kingdom of God, and he wanted to. And Jesus said, if you're going to experience the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. That which is born of the flesh, Jesus said, is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. There's a spirit man on the inside of you, deep on the inside of you. It's a spirit that gives you life. It's the spirit that Jesus' spirit comes inside and makes you a brand new creation, your spirit man. That which is born of the Spirit is your spirit man. And then we have a soul, and that's our mind, our will, our emotions. It has faculties such as the inspiration, imagination, and other things. And then we've got our natural physical body that houses the soul and the spirit. Now, if you were to kind of zip off your natural body and put the physical body over here, the physical body that has access to the physical realm and relates to the physical realm, just put it off to the side and you're left with your soul nature. So then you zip off your soul nature, which is accessing the relational realm. That's how you have relationship with God, relationship with each other. It's where your intellect is and all those faculties. You kind of take that off and put it there. And you're left with your spirit man. Your spirit man looks just like you. If you were to walk out of your body, walk out of your soul, and see your spirit man, just stand there as a spirit man, you would look like you. But when you're born again, you would be in the nature and the character and the likeness of Jesus Christ. It is His nature that is given to you when you're born again. So inside of you is God's DNA. When any man is born again, he's a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new because you're in Christ and you have access to the glory. In John chapter 17, in verse 22, Jesus said, "The glory that the Father has given me, I give unto you." So when you are in Christ and you're born again, your new nature is empowered by Jesus. That's why you can do the same works that Jesus did. That's why Jesus said, "The works that I do, will you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father." Because when He went to the Father, He released His very Spirit to anyone who believes. So inside of you, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, His power, His nature, His Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead comes inside of you, and that is your life. Jesus is your life now. And therefore, you have access to the glory. You have 100% access to the glory, to miracles, to signs, to wonders, all the day long, every single day. You don't have to wait for God to tickle your ribs. You right now can step into, by faith, into the manifestations of the glory. Get into the Word and find out what is yours. It says, all the promises of God are yes and amen unto you. Let me show you a couple of scriptures that should really get you excited right now. And if you believe this and walk in this, you'll start to manifest the glory, because the manifestations of the glory will follow truth. As you believe truth, use the faith connection to hold on to what is true, then the manifestation of what you believe will start to come in your life. Now, in Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, the spiritual blessing are the unseen blessings. Where? In God's heaven, in the unseen realm. But when you connect to those things by faith, when you really know that they actually belong to you, when you connect to them by faith, you can download them into the natural manifestation in the earth. You can have them now, operating in the earth now. We've seen it. We know it. Whenever I operate in faith towards this, I see the manifestations of it. It's awesome. In fact, I'm getting stirred up afresh in my life right now on this. Now, next thing, turn to 2 Peter and chapter 1. And starting in verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power, this is his sovereign power, but look what his sovereign power has already done. Not might do, might hope to do. It's not what might hope to do. It is what has actually happened already. His divine power has already granted to us everything. Say everything. Everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by what? His own glory. You have been called by Christ's own glory. You have already been granted everything that pertains to life and to godliness according to God's glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us, he's already given to us, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers of what? The divine nature. You see, when you study out the promises, when you read the word of who you are and what you have, that you are a creature of the glory, and you start to believe that, you'll start to manifest it. You'll start to partake of or manifest the divine nature. That's God's nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Your natural man won't pull on you anymore. You'll start to live in those glory realms, and you'll start to have supernatural glory encounters. You will. It's amazing. But you have to know who you are. Now, let me show you something else. This is so cool, because oftentimes people think, oh, if only I could be connected to heaven, if only I could go to heaven, if only this would happen, oh, maybe one day in the sweet by and by. Well, listen to what you already have. It says in Hebrews 12, 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. That's where you've come to already. It's not where you're going to go. You already have come to Mount Zion. That's the heavenly place in Christ. You already have it. And to the city of the living God. This is the heavenly place. This is God's heaven. What else have you come to? The heavenly Jerusalem. And to myriads. This is thousands of thousands of thousands. Myriads of what? Angels. This is what you've come to. The presence of angels. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. It goes on to say that you have been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Do you understand that this is what you already have access to? Now, I don't have time in a television program, and maybe it wouldn't even be wise to unpack the fullness of it over TV because it's line on line. That's why I love the Glory School. That's why the Holy Spirit dictated the school to me for a 30-day visitation, showed me how God's people could access the glory realm. Line on line, precept on precept, not taking just a little bit of truth and running off crazy with it and getting it all out of context, but study the word to show yourself approved so that you know how to access the glory realm according to truth. And then, I just got to read this to you, it's so amazing. In Hebrews 9, it says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the truth, but into heaven itself." Christ has already entered into heaven itself. And then it says in chapter 10, verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter that holy place," which is heaven itself, how? "By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way." I can't go on right now because we're out of time to explain to you that heavenly dimension even more that you have access to. But believe me, beloved, you have access to the heavenly place, to encounters with God, to the supernatural, to signs and wonders, and to every single promise of God that you read in this word. It's not just print on a page. It's living. It's pulsating, and it will manifest in your life. It will. The secrets of God are ready to be revealed to you because He wants these things revealed to you. Oh, get the Glory School. Come to a Glory School if you can, or get it by DVD or MP3 or CD. Gather together with friends, study the glory, and get your life changed so that from this time forward, from the rest of your life, from this time forward, you will walk in the supernatural dimensions of God, escaping the corruption that is in the world by lust and living on a whole new dimension. Do it. Do you want to learn how to live in the glory? Yeah, I mean really live in the glory. Learn how to walk and live in the manifest presence of God and ascend up into the heavens and enjoy His presence and boldly come before the throne of grace and learn how to discern the presence of angels. All of these things are taught in the Glory School. Plan on attending. We have made a decision as a ministry to take a big leap of faith when we had no visible means of support for it. We made a decision to branch out in our outreach like never before into Canada. And so we've invested a lot of finance into it. Finance that we had to believe God for in order to make the payments on the airtime. And of course, the production is another expense as well. We made an appeal through the mail not too long ago in the last month or so, and very little actually came in, but I do want to thank you for each and every one of you that contributed to that, because every single dollar counts. The fact is that in that appeal, we didn't even receive enough back in to cover a month of airtime on the different networks that we're broadcasting on across Canada. Can I ask you to pray, seriously pray, about investing into our broadcast across Canada? We need your support now. Would you come into agreement with us that we can raise the remaining $60,000 that we need to finish the broadcast for the entire next 12 months, a whole year? $60,000, that's all we need. In fact, if there are 60 of you watching that each donated $1,000 each, we could do it. We could finish the year up strong. We are able to reach with our new outreach into media on the different networks that we're broadcasting on. We can reach Canadians all across the land that we never would have been able to reach prior to that. We have already been receiving emails and telephone calls and people that are so elated with the program coming into their home. Would you please go online right now or call the toll-free number on your screen right away and make a significant donation? Some of you are able to maybe sow $1,000 into the destiny of Canada. Maybe some of you could even sow more. Maybe there's even a person watching that could sow the entire amount that we're believing for. But don't negate the importance of the small gift too. Maybe you only have $5 or $10 or $20, $50 that you can donate at this time. But you know, if If 100 people all donated $20 each, that's a significant amount, isn't it? We could even do maybe half of a whole month of airtime on that. Would you please take this to prayer? And I encourage you, go online now. If we do not get the funds in within this next month, unfortunately, we will have to come off the air. We've taken the leap of faith. We're believing God, but we want to do it together with you. We'll give you an update in the next month or so as to whether we can stay on the air. We believe that we will with your help. We as a team have invested sacrificially into this out of our personal finances, out of our personal bank accounts. We have invested into it. Ministries in the U.S. have invested into it, but now it's time for Canadians to rise up. Again, I want to thank you for each and every one of you that have already invested into this, but let's together just go for it. And if you've already made one investment, maybe you want to sow another seed. We can do it. Let's keep Christian messages on the air all across Canada, now and until Jesus comes.